There's a lot of darkness in the world today, a lot of darkness. And I don't want to talk about light, and I don't want to talk about darkness. But I want to talk about that period and that place between that, between light and darkness. You know, during the daytime, it's not hard to realize and recognize that it's daytime. You know, you can look out and the sun's shining and it's day. I know I've been back there in that room and it's real dark in there, and sometimes I don't wake up till 9 o'clock and look out and the sun's shining. It looks like it's still night in there. But it's not hard to distinguish when during the day that it's daytime, daylight. Sun's shining, everything is clear, no doubt about it, it's daytime. And then when night comes and it's dark, it's not hard to recognize that it's dark. It's dark, you know, you can't see. You turn your lights off and you just can't see. No, not hard to distinguish that at all. Not hard to distinguish when night has come, because it's dark. But there's a little period in between there. Right between that time when it's light and that time when it's dark, there's a little period of time in there that it's hard to just, whether you know or not, you don't really know whether it's day or night. Many times I've seen the sun come up in the morning, been driving all night long and watched the sun come up in the morning, but there's a little space of time in there. Oh, it's real dark, and then that little, not very long, then it's light. And then in the shades of evening, well, there's a period in there, twilight, I believe they call it, or something. And that is that time of twilight. That is, they say, is the most dangerous. There's more car wrecks on the highway in that hour there between day and night, in that 1 hour. There's more accidents on the highway in that period of time than any other hour of the day, any other time of the day. It's a time some people got their lights on, some got them off, and it's just a time, a very, very dangerous time, that little twilight time in there, between the darkness, between the day and the night. Well, that's a time that, like I said, it's hard to distinguish. Is it day or is it night? It's just right in between there. Can't see everything. You can see, but it's not real clear. It's not real clear. But it's not real dark. It's not maybe not real dark enough to turn a flashlight on or something, but still, it's just kind of blurry light. And I'm thinking about that tonight. First, I would like to say, though, the Bible said in God is light, and in Him there's no darkness at all. There's no darkness in the Lord, no darkness at all. Not even no twilight in Him. Everything God does or says or is, it's light, it's clear. And I thought about the scripture, I thought in my mind, I believe it's when he was hanging there on the cross, and after he had died in the great upheaval and the earthquake, someone said, I believe it said, surely this was the Son of God. This was the Son of God. He had the manifestations of his life and the circumstances and the the way he had lived and the way he had died and the conditions surrounding him, he left them with no doubt. This is the Son of God. This is the Son of God. He left that kind of a testimony. This is the Son of God. This was the Son of God. Here is the Son of God. And he left no darkness. He left no shadows. Everything God is or everything God did, it's clear. It's clear. No fog about it. No blurriness about it. No haziness about it. Have a hazy time, you know. Not really a clear day, but just kind of a hazy day. And then I thought about the disciples. It said there, after that they'd been put in jail and got out and so forth, it said they looked on these men as being ignorant and unlearned men. But they said, we'll have to acknowledge that these men have been with the Lord, with Christ. They've been with Jesus Christ. We'll have to acknowledge that. These people had lived in such a way and they conducted themselves in such a way that we don't understand what's taken place. We don't understand them all together, why they're like they are, so forth. But they left a clear, distinct life that they had been with Jesus Christ. They'd been with Jesus Christ. Had to acknowledge that. Didn't leave any confusion about it. Didn't leave anything about it. They just had to acknowledge that these men had been with Jesus Christ. And I'm thinking about this. The Bible says here in Zechariah 14th chapter, familiar scripture to some of us, 6th verse, and it shall come to pass in the last, and it shall come to pass in that day that the light shall not be clear nor dark. But it shall be one day which shall be known to the Lord, not day nor night. But it shall come to pass that in evening time it shall be light. Shall be light. We put a lot of emphasis on that part of the scripture, don't we? But I'm thinking about this time when it was neither light nor dark. That was a period of history that the world went through, church went through, and it had been spiritual darkness for 1,000 years, many, many years. It had been spiritual darkness in the world. And then a little bit of light began to break through. And it referred to in the Bible and history as a time when it was neither dark nor light. But I want you to remember that was a time and had to be, I expect. But, oh, that was an awful time. It was an awful time. It was a time when people the light wasn't shining very bright, and darkness, they just coming out of darkness, and a little bit of light shining through, and they'd grab a hold of a little bit of light, and then somebody else would get a little bit of light. In other words, there was lots of confusion in that period of time. And that's long about that time, and that period of time is about when a lot of different religions begin to form. Somebody raise up over here, and Martin Luther come along, and then he got a bunch of people started following him, and Wesley's came along, somebody's bunch of people started following him, and there was just a lot of confusion in that period of time. Couldn't get a hold, couldn't get a hold of the real light. It wasn't shining real bright at that time. Just a little bit filtering through. And thereby it created a lot of confusion because of a lack of clear light, because of a lack of clear understanding. It was just a period of time we had to go through. But I'm trying to get the thought out of the conditions that because it was neither light nor dark, that it caused an awful lot of confusion. People would get a hold of this, and I believe this, and somebody get a hold of something else, I believe this, somebody get a hold of something else, I believe this. And just caused a lot of confusion in that period of time. And because of that, it was neither light nor dark. And that was a period of time. Well, I'm thinking tonight, getting a little foundation here, I'm thinking tonight of the world we live in today. And I'm also thinking about the responsibility to us that have the light. Of us that have the light. Confusion. The Bible says that God is not the author of confusion. But I'm thinking tonight how we know where darkness comes from. It comes from the devil, doesn't it? Darkness. Sin. And I'm thinking how important it is and how necessary it is that you and I then have the light. That we walk in the light. That we walk in the light. That we don't leave any confusion. I see the devil. I guess he's always been doing that. But I see him trying to sow confusion. Confusion. He'd like for you and me to. Oh, may the Lord help us tonight. To get a hold of what our burden is tonight. The Lord in him is light and no darkness at all. And the Bible said another place over there in the 14th chapter of 1 Corinthians, it said if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, something like that, I believe it says, how shall the people prepare, so forth. It said that even things with that life-giving sound, whether pipe or harp, except they give a distinguished in sound, how shall it be known what is piped or harp? For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? An uncertain sound. I think how that we need to give a clear, distinct message. We need a clear message. In this day and age of confusion and unbelief and sectism and all kinds of movements and churches and groups and confusion, one believing one thing, another believing something else. Oh, how important it is that we have a clear, clear message. We have a clear message. Leaving no confusion about it. And how the Lord, and how the very truths and the of the Bible and the very thing that we believe and that we stand for, the devil would like to confuse that. I'm thinking of how necessary it is that you and I that have the light, that we stand, have a clear, definite message. I think how the doctrines, for instance, of sanctification. We heard a clear message on that last night. But I think how important it is that we have a clear, distinct message. a salvation, a born-again experience with God. How it's so necessary that we have a clear message that leaves no doubt in people's mind. This is what the Lord requires. This is the way you get saved. This is the way you get saved. I talked to a couple of fellows one time, and they seemed to be interested in getting saved, and I gave them what I felt like was what the Bible teaches, how you get saved. Well, they weren't willing to accept it right then, but one of them looked over the other and he said, "Well, there's one thing about it. If we want to get saved, we know how. We know how." The Lord wants that kind of a message. To leave, no, I'm not one, if I want to be saved, this is how I get saved. God would have us as ministers and saints and people with light to have that kind of a message. If you want to be saved, this is the way you get saved. If I want to be saved, then I must repent of my sins. I must repent. I must forsake my sins. That's what the Bible teaches. That's clear. There's no confusion about that. And therefore, leaving a clear understanding. People are confused. The world don't know how to get. There's people that don't know how to get saved. They really don't know how to get saved. I read somewhere where there's over 200 ways that man has figured out to where you can be saved or be a part of the church. Over 200 different ways that you can become a Christian. Some just said, just raise your hand. Some said, make a decision for Christ. Some said, just turn over and just do the good deed. Do the best you can. Join the church of your choice. But God wants to have a clear message. You must be born again. You must be born again. No other way. You must repent. Except you repent, you will all likewise perish. Not just a little making the decision for Christ, but you must come to the Lord and humble ourselves and repent of our sin and pray and seek the Lord and die out and give ourselves to the Lord and have a real born-again experience with God. That's clear, isn't it? There's so much confusion about how to get saved. But the Bible is very clear on it. Jesus is very clear about it. May the Lord help us tonight. And when it comes to the teaching of sanctification, it must be a clear standard for it. One don't believe this, believe that. I'm hearing it challenged. The thing that we've always taught, that you must come and you must consecrate, as we heard last night, and make a perfect sacrifice and a full sacrifice. You must give yourself wholly, soul, mind, and body, and spirit, all I have or ever will have, I give it unto the Lord. And then after I've done that, then the Bible says we're sanctified by the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost comes in and it sanctifies and cleans and purges out the old carnal nature that we were born with. Yes, there is definite cleansing. Somebody, I've heard it remarks me. Those folks, they do. Talk about two works. Well, as the sister said last night, about it's a perfect plan of God. But it must be clear. Must be clear. When I heard it preached, when I came among the people of God, I heard it preached. It wasn't no confusion to me about it. It was clear what I needed, what I had to do. Man got up, preacher got up and preached the message on sanctification. I never knew anything about it. But it was so clear. All I had to do was come to the altar and do what he said do. And I got the experience. Clear. Time when it's neither dark nor night. If we're not careful, the devil would like to kind of fog things up. Well, is there anything really to it? Do I have to be sanctified? Yeah. Your salvation is not complete. Your salvation is not complete until you've been saved and sanctified. It is two works. It is two works of grace in the heart. But it's one plan of God. One plan of God. The Lord help us tonight. A clear message. Oh, the devil would like to water that down. The devil would like to blur the truth and kind of hide it to where our young people couldn't get a real clear vision of the truth. Lord, help us. We're living in a very confusion time right now. And the devil would like to just water everything down a little bit, you know. Well, this is not really important. But God, Jesus brought a clear message. He brought a clear message. He brought a clear plan of salvation and redemption for the soul of mankind. And it works. It always had worked, and it still works today. But I don't want to minimize the thought. Don't want to leave people in a state of mind of confusion. God would have us as ministers to give a clear message from God. This is what you have to do. This is what the Bible says. If you want to be saved, you've got to repent and forsake your sins. Ain't no confusion about that, is it? And you've got to walk in all the light and all the truth that God shines upon your pathway. And when you're saved, your sins are all blotted out. And when you sin, then you're in trouble with God. And then you're no more saved when you sin. Clear. Clear. And when you're sanctified, holy, filled with the Holy Ghost, had the old carnal nature purged out, and we heard last night, it'll make a real change. There's a real change in it. Clear. Oh, the Lord help us. The devil knows that some of us folks here we're not going to quit. We're not going to quit. We're going to hang right on to this thing. We're going to hang right on to it. We're going to stand for it. I believe there's a number of folks here like that. But the devil would like to just kind of water some things down. Just not leave a real clear picture of things. And then we get our individuals' mind mixed up in it, my opinions and my ideals and my thoughts, and I see it this way, I see it that way, and I feel this is all right, I feel that's all right. But if it ain't supported by the Word of God, it ain't worth a hill of beans. It ain't worth a hill of beans. If what I think or what I believe or what I think it is or what I think it's not, if I can't support it with the Word of God, it ain't worth anything. What you think about it has nothing to do with it whatsoever. What you and I think about it, it's what thus saith the Word of God. And if it isn't supported and backed by the Word of God and very clear, there's no dark in him, there's no darkness at all. In the Bible, in the Word of God, there's no darkness at all. It's a clear message. The New Testament is a clear, there's some things over there in the old Bible and prophecies and times. I don't fully understand a lot of it myself. But when it comes to the gospel that Jesus Christ brought into the world, there's no confusion about it. It's clear. It's clear, distinct message from God. And when we apply our hearts to what it says, thus saith the Word of God, then it'll work like it always has worked. The Lord help us tonight. Clear, if the trumpet gives an uncertain sound, how are we going to prepare ourselves? If we leave people with don't know what to believe, then how are they going to prepare themselves? The Lord help us tonight. The teachings of the Word of God. Divine healing. The Lord help us tonight. There's a clear message. Clear message. Jesus said, by His stripes, we are healed. We are healed. He said, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He said, I am the Lord and I change not. And the Bible says that He healed all manners of sickness and disease. And we heard the other day about blessing and trusting in Him. Clear message. Clear message. I'm hearing that question too sometimes. Oh, is divine healing, is it really taught in the Bible? Is it a Bible doctrine? Yes, it's Bible doctrine. It's not a privilege to just choose whether I want to trust the Lord or whether I don't. I know there's a space in there where people have to grow and people that are not don't have the full light and understanding on those things. I realize that. But I want to tell you, God has fixed it and paid a great price. And the Lord, the Bible teaches a clear message on divine healing. Divine healing. The Lord help us tonight. And the Lord wants us, I believe that's just as much a part of the Word of God as any other part. And if I leave people under a message of uncertainty, well, brother so-and-so said this was all right. How in the world is our young people that's following along, how are they going to understand things if it's not real clear? If it's just taught, well, that's up to you. And like I said, I know we have an individual. It's up to us, whatever we do. But when the Lord laid out this plan of salvation, of being saved and sanctified and healed, divine healing, when He laid it all out, He laid it out real clear what He would have us to do. And we may not be there. As one old brother up in Akron, Ohio, used to say, brother, I'd go there for a meeting and he'd say, brother, he said, he'd pray, Lord, just send your word on any line. And he said, if I'm not there, I'll get there. I'll get there. Well, I might not be somewhere or another, but God wants you and I to get a hold of the Word of God. I might not be there, but God wants us to get there. He wants us to get there. He wants us to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ to where we can practice what the Word of God says. The Lord help us tonight. if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, if I just seeing things blurry, if things is blurry. The scripture said one place there in Matthew, it says, how is, if the eye be single to God, the whole body is full of light. In other words, clear. I believe one translation says, if the eye be single to God, then everything will be clear. Everything will be clear. See, as long as I've got something in my eyes, things don't look very clear. At evening time, or that little period of time between day and night, things are not real clear. But if I have a single eye to God, then everything will be clear, And there won't be no confusion about it. Lord, help us. Lots of confusion around today. But what did the rest of it say? There's no last part of that. Be darkness or something or other. But if we limit it. Yes. If your eye be evil, the whole body be full of darkness. And another translation said, in place of darkness, said foggy. Foggy. If the eye be evil, then things will be foggy. Foggy. About the worst kind of weather that I hate to drive in is foggy weather. When it's real foggy, that's a hard time to drive. It's a hard time to see. But if the eye be evil, then the whole body is going to be foggy. It's going to be foggy. Things, spiritual things. If I allow confusion to come into my mind, if I get away from the Word of God, if I get away from the standard of truth that the Bible teaches, that the church has taught, that the saints have always taught. If I get away from that, then things are going to start getting foggy. If I let down on one little line of truth that the Word teaches and that the church has stood for down through the history of time. If I let down and change, I'm going to enter in. No more is things clear anymore then. But a clear, definite line. The Bible teaches to dress in modest apparel. Modest apparel. And it teaches it against the outward adorning. Wearing gold and all those kind of things. But if I change that, I'm going to enter into a foggy state of mind. Amen? See what I'm trying to say tonight. If you and I don't stay with the Word of God and stay with the truth and stand by a clear, definite, pure gospel, then we're going to enter into a state of fogginess or unclear. Unclear. Any time we turn away and try to change or try to fail to accept or take a hold and stand for and stand by the Word of truth, the Word of God, the doctrines of the Church of God, the one true church. I still believe tonight God only has one church. Somebody asked me one time, what church are you with? What church are you with? You know, that's quite a common question. He asked me, this fellow asked me what I was doing. I said, well, I'm traveling in evangelistic work. It's been some years ago. Well, he said, what church are you with? I said, I'm with that one over there where it says, Paul said, take heed and feed the church of God, which he had purchased with his own blood. I said, that's the one I'm with. That's the one I'm with. He said, is that the only one? I said, that's the only one I can find in the Bible. The one that he purchased with his own blood. The Lord help us. If we lose a vision of one true church, which includes and takes in every saved person in the world, everybody that's in, what did they have the other day, agreement with us, or with the Spirit, everyone that's born to the Spirit of God, everyone that's walking in the light of the truth that they understand, that's the church. That's the church. It's not a conglomeration of this and over there and this and this and that. This is a church over there and a church over yonder and a church over there. Everywhere you find a saved person, that's part of the church right there. But it's still one. God only has one church, is all he has. Now, this ain't a very popular thought right here, but it's truth anyway. And I'm going to tell you something tonight. If I didn't believe this and understand this and have a vision of this, I've often made the statement that I'm a man that never liked phony things. I never liked make-believe things. And I don't like confusion. And I don't like to see things that's supposed to be something they're not. And I can tell you tonight, if I didn't have a clear vision of the one true church of God, the body of Christ, the truth, the pillar of the truth, of being born again to the Spirit of God, being sanctified, holy, as the two definite works of grace in the heart, with divine healing, with oneness of God people, with modest dress and all those things. If I didn't have a clear vision with that, I wouldn't have anything to do with religion at all. It's a mess. It's a bunch of confusion. And the devil has succeeded in doing that. Why all of that? It's to confuse the people's mind till they don't know where to turn. There's lots and lots of places right now in this world. If somebody, you know, I know we're not supposed to look to the people or to the congregation or to the church, but God said, we had a message in this meeting about a city that's set on a hill that cannot be hid. But people today wouldn't know, hardly wouldn't even realize where to go, what to do. But God would have you and I that have the light and have the understanding of the truth. He would have you and I to live in such a way as those disciples of old, that they have to acknowledge they've been with Christ. Lord, help us tonight. That is one of the greatest testimonies in the Bible, when these other people testified for these fellows. And God would have you and I tonight, everyone that names the name of Christ, let him depart from iniquity. The Lord would have you and I tonight to live in such a way that we don't leave people in a state of confusion. If I'm claiming to be a Christian, if I'm claiming to be a child of God, and especially if I'm claiming to be a saint in life, the Lord help us and have mercy on us if we live in such a way that leaves people in a confused state of mind. What the truth is. What it means to be a Christian. See what I'm trying to say tonight? Leaving things are so blurry. Oh, the Lord help us. I tell you, the devil has done all. I don't know, I'm sure he works on you too. But he's done all he could to blur my mind of the truth that we have stood for years. He would like to just soften things up. Oh, and it don't have to be all that serious. It's not all that important. It is important if the Bible teaches it's important. Every word of it's important. But the devil would like to get me. And that's just as soon. Just as soon as I begin, and I talk to people all the time. I talk to people all the time that comes to me. Oh, I once stood for the Lord. Talk to somebody today or just in recent days. I really don't know whether I'm ready to meet God or not. You know what happens when you dabble with things of this old world? And you dabble with some kind of strange doctrine. Amen. You dabble with something or another. Go over here to try something a little bit. What you're going to do is going to fog your mind. It's going to fog your mind. May not be such a terrible thing that you did. But if it's just a little something or another. Causes me to get confused. It brings on confusion. Now where do I stand? I had a clear vision. I believe this. I have known people that had a clear vision of the truth of the Word of God and could quote it and lived it and I've seen them start dabbling with something. Some kind of seventh seal trumpet teaching or something. I see them start dabbling with it. And now some of them are so far away they don't know where they're at. Don't know where they're at. Better stay with the truth. Better stay where you can have a clear vision. Don't ever override your conscience in these things anyway. Don't ever override something that you have been truth, and it's truth according, it's proven by the Word of God, and you've stood for it, and you know it is truth. Don't ever dabble with it. Don't dabble with it. Don't just play around with it. Because what you're going to do, I know people that had a clear vision of the church, of the truth, that don't know where they're at today. They don't know where they're at today. And I see people today that sit around and enjoy the freedom and the blessings and the fellowship of the people of God. And I've seen them get carried off with something or another. And then confusion sets in. And things become blurry. And the truth becomes foggy. And they look around. I don't see it. Oh well, them people, they're not what they used to be. All this kind of stuff, you know. Thank God tonight. I'm glad that in Him is no darkness at all. I'm glad we can look to Him. I'm glad that I can see the truth. I see the church just like I seen it in the very beginning. I see the truth just like I saw it almost 40 years ago. Hasn't changed one bit. I see the standard the same as it's always been. It's clear to me. I see some folks trying to mix it up with something else. I see some folks trying to mar its beauty a little bit. But oh, thank God tonight. My prayer is to God. God, don't ever. No, never. When I feel a little discouraged and I begin to see things around and I begin to let my eyes begin to lift over on something else, what I do, I go before the Lord and I pray, Lord, brighten up my vision, Lord. Brighten up my vision. Better stay away from the
of sin that caused confusion. Better stay away from those people. Avoid them. That comes around saying the truth ain't what it used to be. Or saints ain't what they used to be. All that kind of stuff. You drank in a little bit of that Babylonian wine. And I know what that wine will do to you. You'll sure get dizzy. You can't see what you're doing or nothing don't look real. You get enough of that old white port wine, I tell you, you don't hardly know where you're at. But oh, when you see things of confusion, avoid that thing. Avoid it. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Stand for the Word of God. This is the truth. Go to somebody who you know is standing for the truth. Somebody you have confidence. Somebody you have faith in. Get some counsel. Get some advice. Don't listen to this wind of doctrine. What does the Bible say something over there about being carried away? Talked about being rooted and grounded and settled, established, that we be not carried away with every wind of doctrine. Let me say something right here. It's dangerous if you're claiming to be saved tonight, or if you are saved. I want to tell you something another. It's a dangerous, I'm going to use that word, danger. It's a dangerous place to live in a lukewarm condition. It's dangerous to live there. Not be rooted, not walking in the light, in the truth that God you know and understand. Living a what did it say? A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Let me tell you, when you live a shoddy life, and when you live a careless life, and when you get to thinking, Lord help us, this is not important. Go ahead. That's not important. That's just something. I heard this. Oh, that's just something the old preachers used to preach. Well, I thank God for what we have. But I myself, I would like to have a little more of what some of those fellows had. Lord, help us tonight. But here's the danger of living a careless life. There's a danger in you and I that are saved of getting distracted. Get it overcharged with drunkenness and cares of this life. Allowing our thoughts, sitting around. Let me say something to you tonight. Sitting around talking about things that are not edifying, inspiring, truth. Just kind of questioning. What's that say over there? Somebody tell me where it said there was some people over there that was just what they spent their time trying to come up with something fusion about it or something like that. The Lord help us tonight. Keep a clear vision. And I want to say again that it's a dangerous place. That you may be rooted. You might understand the depths and the width and all rooted and grounded that you be not carried away with every wind of doctrine. All kinds of doctrines floating around in the air. And some of them look so real. But if they're contrary to the spirit of holiness and meekness and godliness and purity, and if it's confusing, if it's something causing confusion in your mind, you better just leave that thing alone. When things begin to be questionable in your mind, You better just stay with the light. In Him is no darkness at all. Stay with the truth. Stay with the Word of God. Don't listen to this. Oh, there's all kinds of winds of doctrine. Jesus said that it would be like this in this day. He's saying we've got it over here. It's over here in the desert. We've got it. Come over here. But He said, don't go with it. Don't go with it. I am the way. I am the truth. And I am the life. I'll tell you again tonight. It's a dangerous thing. I use this word for a lack of maybe a better word. But you that are here tonight, that are not saved, you that are here tonight may be backslid away from God. And you know that God's dealt with your heart. And you know that God is dealing with you. Let me encourage and also warn you. That's a very, very dangerous place to live. To live when you know God is dealing with your soul. And when you know that you will need to be saved. And when you know what you ought to do, that's a dangerous place to live. Because the devil is going about to seek whom he may devour. And he has a substitute somewhere for you. Amen. He has a substitute he'll offer you. Well, I guess that's not really necessary. Those old saints, they're just kind of old fogies, and I don't like to be referred to as that. But the truth is the truth. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Anything that's going to put you in bondage, anything going to confuse your mind, anything you're confused about tonight, you ought to come and pray. Lord, clear all the fog out of my mind. Lord, move all the mist out. If I'm confused about the way and the truth and the church and where I'm at with God, am I saved or am I not saved? Am I sanctified or am I not sanctified? Am I in the true church or am I not in the true church? If I'm confused, I ought to pray. Lord, Lord, clear that fog away, Lord. I want to see clear. I want to know the truth. I want to know what's right. I want to know where I stand with God. Lord, I open my heart to You. I submit my life to You. Lord, I humble myself to You. And I ask You, Lord, to clear my mind what I'm trying to say. That it's a dangerous thing to live where you don't see very clear. Where you don't see very clear. Oh, may the Lord help us tonight. Yes, Jesus Christ, yes, He was the Son of God. He was the Son of God. You that have life, understanding of the evils of television, and you go on and you dabble with that thing, it's going to confuse your mind. You're going to lose a vision of the truth. Amen? It'll blur your mind of what truth really is. Anything, name that out or whatever, anytime that we know that the Word of God condemns, anything we know that the standard and the church and the ministers and what the Bible teaches, and we go against that, what we're doing, we're opening ourselves up for some confusion. And pretty soon I won't know. And if I have light on trusting God, and I have light and understanding about taking drugs and all those kind of things, Lord, help us tonight. If I start dabbling with that, first thing you know, I'll lose my vision of what I'm supposed to do. See, that's the danger of the thing. And when you're in a state of fogginess or things are not real clear, then you're leaving yourself open for the devil to confuse your mind. And oh, the world is full of confused people. The world is full of people that don't have a clear understanding of the things of God. And I want to remind us again the responsibility that you and I that have the light. I don't know who all is here tonight trying to cover everybody that's in here. I know there's some folks don't have understanding of some of these things. But when you and I have an understanding, we have a responsibility to God and to ourselves. And if we begin to change the standards a little bit, we begin to let down a little bit over here, we begin to let down a little over there, and we begin to justify ourselves in some kind of a worldly thing, evil thing, then the worst, I'm thinking, my thought tonight is, I find myself, I'm putting myself into a state of mind where things become foggy. It's the saddest thing I ever saw, is to see somebody that once had light and truth and then see them lose that. That's sad. To hear them say, I don't see it like that anymore. I don't see it like that anymore. And it shows up pretty soon. But oh, when you're in that state of confusion and you're not settled in the truth to the, all that you know and understand, then you are a prey to every old spirit that comes along. Every old spirit that comes along. I've seen that happen too. I've seen people that wouldn't humble themselves. I've seen people that wouldn't take counsel of the ministry. I've seen people that contended for their own way. And after a while, something come along. Swept them up of their feet. So tonight, oh, I don't know if you're getting my message tonight or not, but it's real to me. I see a real dangerous place for a man, woman, boy, or girl to live in. And that is a place of being unsettled and unestablished. Just leaving yourself a prey to the enemy to confuse and deceive. Yeah. Many false prophets going out, he said, to deceive many. You leave yourself open. When you don't walk in the light of the truth. I have seen numbers of people that was truly saved, and started walking and growing in the truth. I have seen them come to a something or another and back down. And I've seen them going back the other way. And I've seen them wind up in other places and other things, the deception. The Lord help us tonight. I remember a woman one time come in contact with the saints, came to Monarch, had about the brightest countenance and just the best spirit and just a wonderful person. Real child, saint of God, I consider that. Well, Providence worked it out to where we had a 3-week tent meeting in that place one time.
And I watched that lady sit there and reject the truth. I watched her turn down the Word of God, turn down the truth. She was found out later she was living in adultery. She was married to a man and had a living companion. And when the truth came out on it, she finally got up and says, "Well," she says, why do we have to just pick on this little thing and that thing? Why don't we just all worship the Lord or something like that? These things are not really important." The last time I heard of that woman, she was playing the piano somewhere out in sectism somewhere. See, when we walk, what did the Bible say? What did Jesus say? Walk in the light as He is in the light. And what happened? Unless darkness come upon you. And how great is that darkness? How great is that darkness? In other words, it would have been better if I'd never had no light at all than to have found some and then turned against it. Because I get in greater darkness than I was before. And I can't think of a worse condition to be in than to be in a confused state of mind and can't see. And that's why that I want to warn us all tonight. And if you're here and you're not saved, or if you're here and you're backslid, or if you're here and you're confused in your mind, you've allowed something another to come along to blur your vision of the truth of the Word of God. I'd urge you tonight, as I said a while ago, to do business with God about it. In Him is no darkness at all. There's no darkness in this Word of God. There's no confusion here. There ain't no confusion in Jesus Christ. There's no confusion in His truth. But it's when you and I drift from the truth, it's when we wind up in confusion. And we wind up in a very deplorable condition tonight. The Lord have mercy on us tonight. In a world of confusion, surely He was the Son of God. Don't you like to go to preach a funeral? Ministers that are here, don't you like to attend the funeral when we say, "We know," you know, "we know where that person is. We know where they're at. They lived in such a way that it left no confusions in our mind. They lived so steadfast. They lived so exemplified the Spirit of Christ. Their stand for right and truth. Who do you call when you really get in trouble? Who do you call for help? I tell you, you call for the one that you feel like living as close to the Lord as you think they can be. That's the one I call. It might not even be a preacher. Some dear old saint I know that just lives this thing and don't leave no confusion about the way they live. That's the one I like to get up on. "Hey, brother, sister, I'm having some problems. I wish you'd get in touch with God for me." Amen. Isn't it such a blessing for somebody to die and your children can come along and look at the body? "I know where Mom is. I know where Dad is." "Oh, that's been a desire in my heart. I don't want to live in such a way to leave people in confusion. I don't want to live in such a way that people will look on it. Oh, Brother Martin, he used to preach so strong and he used to live, but now in his older days he's got careless and he's drifted away from what he used to preach and what he used to stand for. Now I don't really know where he went to." I don't want to leave that kind of testimony. God's expecting you and I to live. Us that have light and understanding, that are saved,
He's expecting us to live so we don't leave our children in a bunch of confusion. Amen. Do you see what I'm trying to say? Well, all I hear is my mom and dad talking about how bad the saints are. How the preachers don't preach the truth anymore. How you think those children are going to grow up? They're going to grow up with a blurry vision. And the ministers is going to try to work with them. Well, I don't know. This brother there, that sister there, I watched them. Do you get my message tonight? God help us tonight. Don't live to where people are going to be confused. God in him is no darkness at all. And as we obey the word of God and we walk in the truth and we hold to the standard of the word of God, and we hold to, I believe it's safe to stand for these things, that some of these same things that have been passed down, that any tradition, Bible said keeping the traditions of the elders. You said, oh well, that's just traditions. But in the Bible, one place condemns traditions. Which one are we going to pay attention to? Listen. Any tradition that has been passed down to us from our older brothers and sisters, anything that'll make us more godly, make us more like Christ, make us a better example, make us a better light, give us more victory, more power, separate us farther and farther from the world, we need to hold on to that thing. Anything going to draw us towards the world, anything that's going to take me a little bit closer to the world. We have a lot of Mennonite people, Quaker people back in the East. I don't agree. I don't think it's necessary. I know it's not necessary to not drive cars and use horses and no telephone, no electricity. A lot of them over there in the East, Pennsylvania, do that. I don't think that's not necessary. I know that. But do you know why they do that? Do you really know the reason that they do that? They really don't see anything wrong. They don't think it's a sin to have a car. They don't think it's a sin to have a telephone. They don't think it's a sin to do that. But the reason they do practice that is because that they feel like that just keeps them a little more separated from the world. A little more separated from the world. That's their main reason in doing that kind of thing. It's not necessary to go that far. I know that. But the ideal, they've got so married about it, isn't it? Anything you and I will draw us farther away from the world, I think we ought to grab a hold of it and hold on to it. And anything that's going to cause us to drift towards the world, I think we better take heed against that thing. Whatever it is. If it's going to mar the beauty, didn't the Bible say somewhere about cleansing ourselves from all filth in the flesh, perfecting holiness in the sight of God? Anything that's going to make me more holy, I want to get a hold of that thing. And anything that's going to make me more like the world, I want to avoid that with all my might. Because I don't want to be confused. And I don't want to see things foggy. And I don't want my vision blurred. I value the vision that I have of the truth. I value that with all my life. I value what God revealed to me in the beginning. I didn't get my vision from reading gospel trumpet books. I didn't get my vision that way. God gave me a vision of the church. And what made it real? Because it harmonized with the Bible. And what made it real when I got out among the saints? It was the same vision God had showed me. And I value that. I value that. I still see that. I still see that one pure, holy bride, church. It's clear to me. I can see it as clear as that clock on the wall. And I want you to know I guard it. I guard it. And I want you to know when anything comes around that tries to blur my vision of that, I don't want anything to do with that. I don't want anything to do with that. Because I value the truth. I value what Jesus died for. I value what men have hazarded their lives for. I value what ministers have died for. I value that. I value what God has revealed. I value those things. They're valuable to me. It's so valuable to me that I'd rather lay down and die than I would to give it up. I'd rather die. I'd rather die right now than to get confused in this thing. And therefore, let me encourage you and warn you tonight. Anything comes around that's going to blur your vision. This is the truth. The truth is being preached right here in this pulpit. Not because I'm here, but I know the ministers that get up here. And I know if they didn't preach the truth, they wouldn't stay up here very long. I guarantee you. That's one thing about the saints. We're an awful patient people. And we're an awful long-suffering people. But when somebody takes the pulpit and starts preaching something contrary to what the Bible teaches, it won't take very long for that person to get in trouble. To get in trouble. I believe the truth, and I value. I've given my life for it. I've given my whole life for it. I've made great sacrifice, not boasting about it, but my wife died trusting the Lord, trusting God. Now that means something to me. That's valuable. That's why I don't believe saints have life understanding about these things going over here and getting something cut off. Amen. It confuses you. It causes you to lose your vision. I'm not being strenuous here, harsh. I don't want you to lose your vision. But you start dabbling with doctors and medicine. You start dabbling with television and worldly things. You start indulging in a little of this and a little of that. First thing you know, you'll be confused. And you won't know where you're at. So I urge you tonight. I urge you tonight. If you're confused tonight. If you don't have, and you've got mixed up, and things are foggy, neither day or night. I don't know whether it's dark or I don't know whether it's light. I don't know whether I'm saved. I don't know whether I'm sanctified. I don't know just where I stand with God. You know what? I'd like to encourage you to do is just come and ask the Lord, Lord, move all the scales off of my eyes. And Lord, this confusion that I'm in, Lord, would you clear my mind up, Lord? Lord, help us tonight. Let's stand and sing a song. If you're here tonight, whoever you are, whatever condition you're in, if you're confused tonight, if you've allowed the devil to come along and confuse you, oh, I've seen so much. I've seen so much. Some people, I hear that. I hear some people say, well, I see so much going on. I see so much. I see people doing this and I see people doing that. So I really don't know what is right. Well, I'll tell you what's right. This is right. This is right right here. And if you've allowed things that you've seen, if you've allowed things that you've heard, things that you have participated in, you allowed that to confuse your mind, let me invite you to come tonight. And the Lord will clear it all up for you. And you can have a clear understanding. And you can get your eyes in Him as no darkness at all. In Him is no darkness at all. You can have your mind completely clear tonight. You can have a real, clear relationship with God. You can stand up and raise your hand without wrath and without doubting, I'm saved, I'm saved. You can have an experience of sanctification tonight. That you can stand up and say, I'm saved, sanctified. You can have that tonight. It's clear. God don't confuse people. God don't confuse people. When I got saved, I know I was saved. I know I was saved. When I got sanctified, I know I was sanctified. And when God revealed the one true church to me, I've never had one doubt. I've never been one speck confused. Which church is right? I've never been confused one speck. It's clear. You can have a clear vision. You can have a clear understanding. You don't have to live in confusion no longer. As we're saying, you want to come and pray? We invite you to come.